Darndest if I know. Hey, Sheila, can you bring up some new whiskey, please? She glided over, her silk dress flowing softly in the night air like a moonlit moth. Can we get back to the main point, Stu?
Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you, Sheila. She smiled warmly down at him and left. So, this fella came through town on his horse, couldn't really see his face because of the handkerchief, but he just started shooting.
Right.
He started shooting and then came to stop right in front of me and said that I would be sorry. Said something about his daughter and her getting hurt. I mean, don't matter to me much, she had it coming. Anyway, the guy came to scare me. I think he might do it again, and I think we should be ready.
What the hell do you mean? What the hell did you do to this girl?
We were being friendly, and then she said it was too much, so I got mad, is all.
What did you do to her, you idiot?
Alright, I'll tell you what. Will you help me, Stu?
That's sheriff to you, and I can't promise I'll help you. Tell me what you did.
The table shook when I slammed my hand down in anger.
Alright, we were on the bluff, see? Like I said, getting friendly with each other, and I got mad when she said no, so I kind of pushed her.
You pushed her?
Off the cliff, yeah.
Wilson, you really pushed it this time, you no good.
I know, but listen, I need your help with this guy. I think he's gonna come back.
Maybe I'll just let him do with you what he wants.
But there's something about him. I don't think he's normal, see?
Get out, you mosquito-bitten, disease-ridden insect.
Wilson was tossed out of the bar by me and three other men.
Go home, Wilson. Expect to get a court summons soon. We'll be investigating.
The doors of the bar closed and Wilson sat up, alone on the street. Must have been half past midnight, judging by the moon and the darkness all around. Sighing, he got up and began his journey home. When he passed by the drugstore, he was hauled up onto a horse by a masked man and was screaming when he was hauled out of town. No lights turned on in the town. No one stirred in their beds. Wilson was gone forever, never to see the light again. A week later, a troop of men on horses padded through the overgrown forests of Wyoming and stopped immediately to see a man hanging from a large oak up ahead. A short while later, I came up the trail with my horse.
What have we got here? Oh, God.
It was Wilson, and as I got closer, I realized how mangled and beaten he was. I had another rider cut the rope from the tree branch as I held onto the body. After thanking the men for their help, I rode back to town with Wilson, tied onto the back of the horse.
Nancy, can you bring the notepad out to me?
I shouted over the neighing of my horse.
What was it so worked up about?
I took the pad from Nancy and thanked her. I started to write notes about the interaction I had with Wilson last night. Yeah, looks like we've got a bandit to catch now. The next night, after scouring the crime scene for any clues and finding none, I rode back to town to check up on the sheriff's office. Probably close up pretty early tonight, I'd guess. Weeds crowded the path which went to town. I kept seeing something glimmering on the path, some shiny snake of a trail that wasn't there before. I stopped my horse and stepped off onto the trail, my boots stamping down and into what I knew was probably blood, and by the looks of it, lots of it. I stepped back a second and remembered where I was. The moon was bright that night and shone the trail of blood leading into the woods east of where I was. I only knew the hooligans that went in there to have sex, but it was a largely unknown land to me. I got back up on the horse and we trotted down the path in search of the source of this ungodly volume of blood. After entering the forest, I could see the path of blood no longer, but could hear it squish under my horse's feet as we went. After some time, the squishing stopped and we were in almost complete darkness. I brought out a gas lantern from the porch on the rear of my horse and lit it. An old shack lay in front of me, its old structure largely dilapidated by years and lots of rain. A figure stepped out from the back of the house. I froze and said, "You there, come out with your hands held high." Instead, the man crept closer to me. Setting the lantern down, I grabbed at my gun and told him again, "Hold your hands high." Still, the man crept closer. I aimed and shot him in the kneecap. But still, he inched closer to me. I aimed again and shot at his other kneecap. Nothing. I picked up the lantern again, and what I saw I will never forget. He was featureless. Black. A hole in which light did not enter. The man came closer to the light and, standing tall, kept coming at me until he was right through me. He walked through my horse, through the trees, until his black semblance was on the moonlit path I was on minutes ago. "Wait, didn't you hear me?" The man turned around. I could tell because his hat turned slightly as I said so.
"I am the Drifter."
I couldn't quite tell what he said and yelled back, "What?" His voice now close to me, as close as ever, yet his body stood in the same spot down the path.
"Drifter."
I lost consciousness and tumbled down the path into a brambleberry bush. When I woke, I was in bed. Was it all just a dream? A booming voice sounded from the walls.
"Do not pursue me, Sheriff."
Urine flowed into the sheets as the voice continued.
"What happened to Wilson was bound to happen at some point."
But not like that, though. We don't do that here. If there was a crime, which I yet to investigate, I would have dealt with him properly.
"Sheriff, you have yet to understand. He did what he did to my daughter. My own daughter. I had to come back to pay him a visit. To make sure she didn't die in vain."
Back from the dead? A silence fell onto my bedroom, and I was aware of a prostitute from the door over that stood trembling in the door. "It's all right, Marion. Go back to bed." She hurried away, eyes wide, body paler than normal. I grabbed at my gun. I tried to remember how to get to the old shack the trail of blood led to. I pulled on some pants and a shirt and hurried out, brushing past Marion in her door. She said nothing as a man nudged her into her room. The old shack stood there just as it had in the dream. The trail of blood was gone, though, maybe dried in the baking heat. I dismounted my horse and walking up the path, gun in hand. In my dream, the gun didn't do any good. It probably would now. It was just a dream before, right? Well, I cautiously walked up toward the little old shack and knocked on the door. No answer. I pushed at the door with the gun ready to shoot. The Drifter was sitting on the old moth-eaten sofa with a hand raised, pointing toward me.
"I told you not to pursue me, Sheriff. What don't you understand about that?"
I fumbled for a second with the gun and put it in its holster. "I just want to know, why are you the way that you are? Why were you like that in my dream last night?"
"What do you think I am, Sheriff?"
A ghost, I guess, but I thought ghosts aren't real. I believed in them when I was a young'un, though."
"We're real, all right. Let me show you."
The Drifter stood up from the porch and ran at me. I was awake, and woke up. A second time. I could see everything differently, with a strange light, a hue to everything. Nothing was as strange as when I walked outside, though. Where I left my horse, there was a person trying to ride it. I screamed at them to get away from it, but they didn't hear me. From within came a voice.
"They are dead. They can't hear you, but they can see you. With me, I died before I could get my hands on that pedophile. That's why you can see me and I can hear you. I had a mission, so I was able to come back."
Without my trying, we started walking down the path toward the person. Beyond that, in a field opposite the path, were at least 30 people milling about. All dead, I assumed. One saw us and began running and pushing others over to get away. This man I recognized as Wilson. His neck was badly bruised and visibly broken.
"Now my mission is here. I must go find him and bring him to justice in my world, Sheriff. Do you understand?"
"Yes." I was trembling somewhere inside myself, but felt oddly relaxed at the same time. All of a sudden, my eyes adjusted to the hot summer light that lost its greenish hue. Looking from the left to the right on the field, not a soul was there. I looked back at my horse to see the person trying to get on the mound, but they were no longer there. I knew at that point that the drifter was no longer with us and was on a new mission. To torment and terrorize the man that killed his daughter in that other place, whatever it was. Where the dead would roam, undisturbed and waiting. Waiting for what? I don't know. I would not know until I went there myself.